today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Totally, and like some weird guy, like preserved all these tube amplifiers in his basement and recorded down there one day. Listeners, my name is Patrick Foster. You're tuned into the Rockin' the Suburbs podcast. On behalf of my co-host, Jim Linehan, I want to welcome you all to the Friday edition of our program. Thanks for tuning in. Appreciate everybody who listens. I want to tell you that today we're going to have the second part of an interview with the Chicago band Cutest Nuisance, and they will be performing at Suburbs Fest Midwest, and they will be playing Saturday, August 6th. Now, we want you to get there early because it's an early show. It starts around 6 o'clock, so you got to get there early to catch Cutest Nuisance and all the bands. We're also going to have Demolition Means Progress and the Stick Arounds. It's going to be a great show. It'll be over by 10, and you can also stick around and do karaoke over there at the Hidden Cove in Chicago, Illinois. If you didn't listen yesterday, go back and hear the first part of this interview with this quartet of musicians. It's really interesting. We played a couple samples of tracks, some of their new stuff. And today we're going to get into some of their influences. We're going to talk about the Chicago music scene and a couple other different things. So I think you're going to find this really interesting. And I'm going to go over here to the tape machine. I'm going to turn on the rest of our interview with Cutest Nuisance, and we're going to let it roll.
Okay. Well, on the topic of Chicago, I want to ask a couple other questions here, too. First off, have any of you, be honest, this is a serious question, I want you to be honest. Have any of you eaten a hot dog with ketchup on it?
Yeah. Have I?
I'm from Florida, so that's normal to me. Okay.
So, I don't condone it, typically. But yeah, I'm a big Chicago dog kind of guy. I can't speak for these other rapscallions.
Hey, I don't know.
I'll put ketchup on a dog, but I won't put ketchup on a Chicago style dog. I mean, that's just what it is. Like what? Changing the recipe. I don't know. Can I be in the middle of the ground here? Like,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I just like.
And then what about, what's your position on the deep dish pizzas? I understand that's really just for tourists, right? It's not really for the locals.
I mean, it's apples to oranges. It gets a lot of talk, but it's kind of goofy because it's not the same thing at all. Like, if you want to go eat deep dish, go eat deep dish. If you want to go eat tavern style, go eat tavern style. They're both really good, you know? So I personally don't get the hate on deep dish, but...
Too much.
I also don't like ketchup on hot dogs. So.
It's just more, right?
Yeah.
Just more.
Yeah. I've lived here my whole life, and I guess I'm a tourist.
All right. And then Cubs or White Sox?
It's a tough one. I got to say Cubbies.
Depends on who's in the World Series.
Yeah.
Yeah, every year.
Yeah.
Now, aren't you guys closer to the South Side?
Yeah. So... me and Melissa are closer to the north side. She actually is on the north side.
Yeah.
And I moved up to the city a few years ago, and I was a 10-minute walk from Wrigley. So yeah. Gotta fly the W,
yeah.
You know?
We were living in Wrigleyville during the pandemic, so I mean, we didn't get to catch a game, but maybe that's a good thing as far as traffic goes.
All right, so if each of you had to pick one cover song and you had to be forced to play a 4-song cover set, what would you play? Let's go around the room.
So we were just talking about this. I think right now it would have to be Hey by Pixies.
All right.
Like
next.
Is My Life on the Line?
Yes, no. Actually.
Oh, my gosh. If I had to play one cover song and my life was on the line, I'd probably play Fire by Jimi Hendrix.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Some good bass in that
mm-hmm.
one.
Probably Guns N' Roses. My Michelle, probably Guns N' Roses.
Oh, My Michelle. Yeah.
Wow, that's
a lot today.
That one.
There's some... Oh, this is a tough one, man. I mean, ever since you suggested Not Guilty by the Beatles, I mean, that one's been the one that's been on my mind.
That's a lot of fun.
That would be a great one. Yeah.
Good little mix of cover set right there.
Yeah.
There it is. All right. You got your first four songs at Suburbs Fest. We'll give you an extra half.
Perfect. Perfect.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You know, speaking of the song, Hey, have you seen the movie The Suicide Squad?
I have not.
The newer one of that? Because apparently the first one was terrible. I haven't seen that. But the new one, which came out like a year ago or so, is good. And that song is on the soundtrack. It's in a scene in the movie. And I just, it struck me because there's such a kind of like a cool soundtrack sort of quality to the Pixies. You know what I mean? They evoke a mood.
Oh. Yep.
When you hear their music, you know.
Totally. Yeah.
They're a moody band. I think that's why I resonate with them so much. Little angsty 13-year-old me, you know.
Love that. Yep.
So tell us about some of the songs that you guys have recorded, you've written and recorded. What's the writing process like?
Well, the first batch of songs that we had, like I said, started off as a solo thing. So I wrote a good majority of the tracks, you know, the bones of the guitars and the bass. I think that was most of the EP that we dropped, you know, and then we kind of let it flourish in the studio after the fact, and that's where ideas really started flying and things changed up here and there. But I think moving forward, it's been a lot more collaborative, this next batch of songs that we're working on. I know that Matt and Melissa both have a song that they've brought to the bands in the past couple of weeks that we want to start working on, and Brad too. So I think, you know, it was nice to get established with the EP and find what we feel like our sound is and go from there. And I think we're just going to let the gates open more and just kind of, you know, write together. I think one of the things we're looking forward to the most is in the next like couple of months here, we want to get like a weekend where we just have nothing to do and we just stay in the studio here and just write,
yep.
The whole weekend. Mm-hmm. So that's been something that we've been like wanting to do like a little getaway for. So, yeah.
It's like a staff retreat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And which albums would you guys bring with you?
That's a good question.
Oh, I know mine.
I know mine too.
You guys go first.
Songs for the Deaf by Queens of the Stone Age.
Nice.
Really? Wow.
I love that album. I mean, I have been listening to it since I was a kid, since it dropped, like, and I, to this day, sometimes, you know, when you listen to music for so long, sometimes you listen to it and you're like, oh, you hear the drums, you hear the bass, you hear the vocalist. And like, as a musician, you can be like, oh, they're doing cool stuff here and doing cool stuff there. That's fun. Let me go home and play that later. But then like that album by Queens of the Stone Age, I listen to it now and I get so lost in it. And there's stuff that's happening. I just like lose my mind.
Mine would be LCD Sound System's American Dream.
That's a great call, man.
Yeah, that one of my favorite bands, have been for a few years now, and that one just, that's got the groove I think we're looking for.
I saw them on that tour.
Oh really? Man. Nice.
Oh, that's amazing. Great live performer.
He sounds just like he does on the record. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyone else?
I think for me, what I've resonated with most in the past year or so is the most recent album, by Idols, if you've heard of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're
a post-punk band.
Yeah. They're a punk band from England. Yeah. Oh gosh. They're so visceral. I love them. And I think that just gets me in the mood no matter what, like to just bring it, you know, energy wise. So yeah, they're most recent album just came out.
I guess recent music, I've been really digging that new Turnstile album.
Oh yeah.
In terms of production too, I think it had a lot of cool ideas, mixing punk and heavy rock and stuff with like pop production.
Talk about production. Like, why is that important?
I think production's part of the passion in this day and age. Like, I mean, it always has been, but like now a lot of bands are self-produced, or at least to an extent can self-produce parts of their albums and stuff. So I think that, yeah, production is the key to making something that goes on for a long time, you know, something that becomes timeless. And like you guys said, getting physical media out there. I mean,
right.
If you think about it as a more local band, having a vinyl from a band that you saw 20 years ago that doesn't exist anymore is pretty special, even if it, you know, who cares about the monetary value? That's a work of art by someone who had that passion at that point in time and really acted on it. And I think that a lot of that plays into the production and how happy you can be with something you want to represent your sound.
I was gonna say something. Somebody mentioned about, you know, buying that record at a show at the merch table that, you know, was, you know, maybe it was from some obscure band or whatever. To me, that's like, honestly, that's like my favorite part of my record collection, is like the stuff that, you know, you wouldn't be able to sell it on Discogs for anything. It has no like value in the open market.
Right.
But it's like, it's the memories of going to those shows, you know, and that record then triggers those memories, you know, and I love that.
I had one particular one in mind when I was saying that too, which is just like, it is, every time I see that, it's like, it takes me back to my first ever house show in the city with Devin here. Like, and we bought a vinyl from this one band, and I'm pretty sure they're not around anymore, but it's like every time going back to that, it's like, goodness gracious, like that was somebody's baby at one point in time, because I know that's just how every record is for, you know, myself.
Right.
You know, I'm just like, that's my baby. And then now it's grown up and it's old and needs a job. Like, come on.
Right. What band was that? Do you remember?
Their name was Vaya, V-A-Y-A.
V-A-Y-A.
They were like a math rock, pop, like punky kind of thing. Like very, very eclectic style. Yeah.
And they just blew our minds when we saw them. And we were just getting into the DIY scene at the time. So that was like, rainbow opens up, the light is shining down. We're like, we could do this.
You mean
this,
you can play shows and have fun?
Yeah. So that was,
I'd have to sell 20 tickets.
That was our first experience in the DIY scene, and I have the same record. So,
I mean, my sense of the Chicago music scene, you know, as you were talking about earlier, but my sense of it is just that it's very fertile. Like it seems like there's so many bands that come out of Chicago.
Any avenue you want to take, man, you're going to find something in that genre for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's sort of, I guess it speaks, I don't know. You feel it's sort of like, I don't know, speaks to sort of that Midwest hardworking sort of mentality or whatever, you know, people just out there doing it. Right.
I think it's kind of the opposite, because at least, you know, this is, well, for me, it's anecdotal, but I feel like, you know, growing up in the communities that I did, it's a lot of nothing to do. It's a lot of nothing to do. And, you know, I grew up in the suburbs south, and it's just cornfields, and there's not a lot of, you know, there is culture in that, but for me, it was not the place that I needed to be. And I was just drawn into more of the arts. And, you know, I think most of the people who gravitated towards Chicago for a music scene would be able to agree, because like you said, it is flourishing and it is nurturing. And I think everyone there, you know, realizes the opportunity of expression, because, you know, it doesn't take much to get on the circuit here. You know, just like I said before, have a band, be practiced, play shows, and eventually you'll get in somewhere. And I think that's more to do with your, you know, hardworking ethics. But I think at the root of it, you know, a lot of people needed somewhere to put that creative energy. And I think that's why Chicago is so good for music, because like you said, it's just all the time new bands coming out.
You can also go out to a show with some friends, and like you might go out with your progressive metalcore friends and you go see a band there, and then you can go a stone's throw down the street and end up at an IDM like noise show or something.
Oh, that's cool.
Some of the same people at both shows. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it's just like, it really isn't like too much of the clickiness, I think, comes from like the house shows. Like there isn't a ton of that, and that makes it a lot easier for people to branch out. Like I know people who have multiple different solo projects and they're all the same person, but it's all different genres and different expressions of their art.
Let me ask you about one of your songs. So you know how like you check out the song, the track list on a new album that you want to listen to, and there's just like a title that just resonates with you right away. You're like, oh man, I connect with that title, right?
Totally.
So tell me a little bit about the song "Damn, I'm Tired." Because that speaks to me.
Yeah, well, that's actually kind of the one-off on the album that was written before this band got together. That was written in the height of the pandemic, in like mid-2020. That was the first song that I had tried to write and record by myself in my room. And I think the reason why it might relate with you so much is the fact that everyone was super tired at the time. it's pretty simplistic, but yeah, I mean, there's a lot of self-reflection in that time. Cause if you read into the lyrics, a lot of it is dealing with, you know, your heavier demons. You know, a lot of it has to do with trying to make better choices, both like physically and mentally, and just being, you know, dragged down by just the weight of everything around you, you know, in typical 90s angst fashion. So yeah, that's a pandemic song, really. So
is there a song that you performed so far that has just, you know, gotten a big reaction?
I think the most fun that we have when we play is our newest song. And I think that is, well, it's called Wasted. But mm-hmm. I think that's generally because that's the first like real big collaborative song that we have. And I like that direction of where we're going because it, you know, four brains are better than one in terms of the writing process. And I think the reason why I like that song so much is that there is a long, like really powerful solo section in there that I didn't write the guitar for at all. It's just the bones of the progression. And then Melissa, you know, I remember the first time I heard it because she tracked it separately. I wasn't even there when she recorded the solo and I was just blown away. So at least for me, that's like my favorite time in a set. And I feel like anytime we've played it in the past couple of months, I get the same energy because we close with that song now. And I think that's just one of those songs that just really gets the energy going up for everyone. And even... Cool. Even as someone in the band, I think as a listener, if I try to separate myself, that's my favorite song to listen to for sure.
That's great. Yeah. So what do you want to do with this band? Where do you hope it goes?
Well, we talk about this a lot. Ideally, we want to do the whole real band, you know, touring thing. I think that's definitely something that we can achieve because everyone here, you know, comes to play, but we also work hard. And I think, you know, with some more experience under our belt in terms of the Midwest, we can start looking forward to, you know, traveling out on weekends and pockets. I think we want to start hitting the road as soon as it's feasible. I think the biggest issue is a van and gas right now. So, you know, that's a
right.
It's a big deterrent. But yeah, I think everyone here is in it for the long haul, and we want to kind of take this music outside of our Midwest home.
All right. Can you guys play Rain by the Beatles?
Oh, yeah, sure. I'll do it.
That's what I want.
Ding, ding.
All right. Ding. We'll see what we can pull off.
There's here, I got it. I got you, Patrick. I'll just tell them this. There's an old style in it for you.
Okay. Soul.
All right. And one last thing for me. First off, I was going to say when you mentioned the van, I was going to ask Patrick, do they still make the Ford Econoline? Can they get one of those?
Yeah.
Get a good deal on that?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, okay. The name, Cutest Nuisance, where did that come from?
It's such a funny story because it's not really. the same as the naming conventions for the songs. I try not to put too much thought into it. You know, if it kind of just rolls off the tongue, it works. The name, it's named after my cat, really. He can be annoying. And my girlfriend just called him a cute. She said he's the cutest nuisance, and you know my brain went, oh, that kind of sounds nice. So, you know, I don't really have a super cool story, but yeah, it's named after my cat Ted. Yeah,
that's nice. We'll accept that. You know what though? It's smart because it's unique, and that's so hard to do these days with band names.
Yeah, and you know when
it's a great band name. Yeah, yeah. It really is.
Thank
good.
You. We appreciate that.
Okay, well, thanks very much for hanging out with us here on the podcast, and we look forward so much to seeing you in Chicago at the Hidden Cove on Saturday, August 6th. You guys will be going on at 6 p.m.
Cool. Yep.
So
you'll be there.
Forward to it.
Early evening rock.
Yeah.
But then that's good because then you get done, and then you can hang out with us.
Exactly.
The rest
exactly.
of the show.
There
you go.
Party it up.
So, but to all the listeners, get there early. Get there early and buy us all beers. All right.
That's it.
All right. Thanks, guys, That's so it. Much for having us.
All right. Thanks very much. It's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And with us has been Cutest Nuisance. And check out their stuff on Tidal and Spotify and all the streamings, right?
Yeah, we're all there.
Listen to everything there. And do you guys have a website and social media you want to
put on? I mean, we're social media on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you know, all the usual stuff, and YouTube and Bandcamp. That's us right there.
So easy to find because I mentioned the unique name. Easy to find you guys. All right. All right. Thanks again. And we'll talk to everyone later.
All right, cool. Thanks, guys.
Dibba dee ba 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 dibba dee ba da ba da.